A joy for us to sing our praise and worship songs to you. Many times they describe our heart's feeling much better than we can explain them ourselves. So receive our songs and praise. Hear our prayers as we offer them up to you, Lord. And as we now look at your word and study your word, make it alive to us. And may we see you, Jesus, in your word. So help us to do that. By your Spirit, you be our teacher, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If I struggle with my voice, endure it. I've had to endure it for a couple weeks. We're in Romans chapter 10, and a couple weeks back, we were with Jesus as he visited the pool at Bethesda. Last week, we were invaded by Horizon Bible College, and it was a good invasion. It was a true blessing to have them with us and as they minister to the Lord. But Jesus, he's there at Bethesda. He's healing. He's doing good, godly things. He's healing his people, Israel. And the Jewish leaders, they're offended that Jesus would heal on the Sabbath or do good works on the Sabbath. But Jesus always had purpose in all of his behavior. He knows the hearts of the Jewish leaders. He knows them too well. And he knows their hearts are hardened against the compassion of God. These leaders seek to persecute Jesus, even desiring to kill Jesus for doing good. Question: does it ever dawn on them that Jesus has just healed a lame man who's been lame 38 years? 38 years of misery, and they don't seem to take that into account at all. But we wonder, does this ever strike their conscience? Do they ever realize what Jesus has done? How can these leaders of Israel be so blind, so defiant of Jesus? They can't see any good that he does. Unfortunately, it's not only them, but we have a world full of people who do not recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, Creator, and Savior. When I was a young man, I had a friend, and I was witnessing to him about the reality of Jesus. And in one of those moments of true confession, my friend admitted that he was thinking about Jesus. And he said, I'm there laying on my bed at night, and I offered up this little prayer, and I said, Jesus, if you're real, have your silhouette appear on my wall. And he said, he did. This silhouette of Jesus appeared on my bedroom wall. And I asked him, well, what was your response? He said, I still could not bring myself to believe. How sad. And as far as I know, my friend, he's still locked in unbelief. I don't know, or I do know, that he refused to be persuaded by a silhouette on a wall, even after he had prayed for that. But there's none so blind as he who will not see. And we see that many times in our friends, our relatives who are unbelievers. The Jewish leaders as a whole, they still reject Jesus as Messiah. They rejected him back when he ministered 3.5 years, and they reject him today. And I believe every unsaved person that we talk to who we witness to, I think they have that moment of clarity. I think they have that come to Jesus moment, if you will. And it's a hard, unbelieving heart that is such a fierce opponent of the true and living God. Therefore, my prayer for unbelievers, and I have friends and family that are unbelievers, is that God, when you show yourself to them, to my friends, those I'm praying for, give them the courage to respond to the truth. Respond by believing. And for those you love, and for those that you pray for, continue your prayers. You may be the only person that's praying for them. And Paul will begin chapter 10 of Romans here with a prayer for his Jewish brethren. Paul's love and concern for his brethren, for his Jewish brethren, was constant throughout his life. So let's read Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend from the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great promise. Paul, in his love of the Jewish brethren, he prays that they will be enlightened, and he prays for their salvation. His Jewish brethren are under the Mosaic law, and they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And Paul's Jewish brethren, through ignorance, seek a right standing with God by works of the law. But their error is not in the righteousness of God, but their error is in their own self-works as being righteous. Any who think a soul can be saved by good behavior, well, they're in darkness. And that really includes most of the Jewish race. And they bring the way of salvation down and cast it before the Lord as the works of carnal man saving them. And they eliminate the work of Christ on the cross. We are saved by the word of faith, when and if we confess faith in Christ. There is no other way of salvation, period. No other way. Then verse 9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10 there, for with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. There is no all-inclusive way of salvation from, say, a denomination or some behavior. We're not saved through baptism, though many believe that. We're not saved through First Communion, and some believe that. We who confess salvation through Christ, we will not be put to shame. Thank you, Lord. Salvation is open to all men, Jew and Greek, those who call upon Jesus. Years ago, I read a book, a biography of George W. Bush, where he confesses that he is not one of those born-again believers. Well, George, there's no other kind. Either you're born again or you're not. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, the respected teacher of Israel, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The salvation message is straightforward and it's simple. Simple enough that a child can and does accept salvation, even as a child with limited understanding. And the first 13 verses of chapter 10 of Romans, they're crystal clear about how to be saved. If you want to be saved, hang around. We're going to go through this. And no one should be deceived about the awesome fact of salvation. Paul continues with, how shall they, the unsaved, hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And then in Romans 14 through verse 21, chapter 10, we'll read. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? If it is as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have you not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Isaiah not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who do not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people, God-seeking man. But notice there the we. We as preachers or proclaimers of salvation. And that doesn't only mean if you stand behind a pulpit. We are honored to declare the goodness of God as a believer. For we bring glad tidings. We bring good news to the world. But not everybody has obeyed the call to be saved. The gospel has gone out in the world, even to the ends of the earth. Moses proclaimed to Israel, God will provoke Israel to jealousy by people who are not a nation, and jealous anger will come by a foolish people. And Isaiah the prophet declared, God was found by those who did not seek him, meaning us, the Gentiles. But to Israel, God says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. God searching, God seeking, declaring to pull Israel to himself, sent prophet after prophet to Israel, to a hard, unbelieving people. And Paul, He's troubled by the blindness and the hardness of heart of his Jewish brethren. For Paul, he was once just like his Jewish brethren, persecuting believers of Jesus, until Paul was met by Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Paul, understanding, seeing Jesus in a bright light, and Paul became saved by Jesus. Saved from damnation. You hear Christians talk about being saved. We're saved from hell, saved from damnation, saved from being separated from Jesus. So, this morning, my desire, my goal, is I want to lead us all in a prayer of salvation. Why would I do that? Make sure you're saved. That's why. To confess our sins before Jesus brings salvation. So let me get you to stand, and we're going to go through this prayer. And all you have to do is mean what you say, and you become saved if you're not already saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you would, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins. I believe you died on the cross for my forgiveness. I believe in your resurrection. I believe you are alive. Please help me to live a life pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, if you prayed this prayer in sincerity and in honesty, you're saved. God's word declares it. So rejoice. It would trouble me, as your pastor, if any of you that I preach to on a weekly basis and a regular basis, it would trouble me to know that there were any who were not saved. Because I try to declare the message of salvation on a regular basis. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for bringing us salvation. Thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and you do the work, you do the saving. Thank you, Lord, for reaching out to mankind, reaching out to us here, for loving us so much that you want us to know the way of salvation. You're not content that any should suffer and perish, Lord, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, may we live a life that you approve of. We want to be pleasing to you with our lives. We want to see all our friends and relatives saved, Lord. We want to see we want to see our friends in heaven, Lord. So we thank you for making heaven so accessible. We simply believe and confess, and you do the rest. So we give you thanks, Lord. Thank you for saving us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are going to have a potluck here this morning. A lot of food, so hang around. If you haven't brought food, don't worry about it. We have a lot of food, don't we?
Yeah.
A lot of food, okay. I make that claim. But so the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And give you peace. Amen.